Well, as you know, President, whatever, I can't remember his name, he said that Time Magazine contacted him to be Person of the Year again, to be Man of the Year, Person of the Year, to which Trump, I believe his name is, said, "Nah, I'm too busy, I don't have time." So that left open a candidate to be Person of the Year for Time Magazine. Yesterday afternoon, I get a phone call here in my studio. I pick up the phone, and they're asking me, they're saying, "Ron Van Dam, we're going to name you Person of the Year." I said, "Oh my God, I accept. This is fantastic. I can't believe you called me to be on the cover of Time Magazine. I accept." And a person on the phone said, No. "You're misunderstanding. It's not Time Magazine. It's Crime Magazine." Oh.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Oh. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ron Van Dam. Pleasure to be with you on this day. You are really among my favorite people of the year. This isn't the first time this has happened to me where I had a misunderstanding with a periodical giving me a call wanting to make me put me on the cover and honor me. That happened about 3 years ago when I thought, again, it was Time Magazine, but it wasn't. It was the Dighton Penny Saver. I always get those two confused. They're so similar in their reporting. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving? Did you eat a lot of that foul poultry thing? I've got chicken. Should I start again? No. Don't go back. Think forward, Ron. I've got turkey coming out of my ass. Look at that. Here comes the head. I'm seriously. I've had so much turkey, I can't stand it. Had a lot of turkey on Thanksgiving. And then on Thanksgiving night, I had a turkey sandwich, Thanksgiving night. And then the next day on Friday, I had eggs with turkey. And then Friday night, I had turkey casserole. And Saturday morning, I had turkey on a bagel. And Saturday night, I had turkey cream puffs. And then Sunday morning, I had lox and turkey with cream cheese, again, on a bagel. And then Sunday night, it was leftovers. So it's just been turkey, 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 turkey. And the ironic thing is, in my backyard, I have wild turkey. Not the alcoholic beverage. That would be fun. If little bottles of alcoholic beverage, wild turkey, were roaming my backyard, I would be in ecstasy. Not that I drink wild turkey, but I could. No, I have the real wild turkeys walking around, and they gobble and everything. They're like gobble. They're gobbling all over the place, and they're walking around, and they're beautiful animals. They remind me of the dinosaurs somehow. I don't know why, but they do. Well, they're very close to dinosaurs. They used to exchange information. So the turkeys are gobbling around, and then here I am sitting inside my house eating a turkey. It made me feel uncomfortable, like, Ron, why aren't you a vegan or a vegan? Why aren't you vegans for Jesus? Why aren't you a vegan, Ron? If you love animals so much and you won't kill them, why are you eating them? And here you are eating a turkey, and in your very backyard, as you're eating a turkey, are wild turkeys walking around whom you love. What's going on with that, Ron? Are you hypocritic? Have you not stood by the oath that you took? I didn't take a Hippocratic oath. I'm not a doctor. Yes, but you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And I am. It's not like I'm eating a hamburger and outside of my backyard there are cows roaming around. That would be interesting. There'd be a lot of crap to pick up. So I'm not into that, man. That's why I don't have a large dog. Some people have these big German shepherds and these gigantic dogs and things. I want the tiny little dog. So when they poop, it's just like a little, their poop just makes a little poop sound. Not the big dogs where it's just, they sit there like for an hour and they're excreting did you collect excrement and now you're just, how do you have that much in you? I can't pick that up. I can't walk around with a pail and shovel following a dog. No, I like the little poop things, and you pick them up, you don't. It's that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Is that a leaf or a poop? What is that? I don't know. So why pick it up? It's fertilizer, right? Yeah. And if you step in a little dog's poop, you get a little Kleenex and you do a quick swipe on the bottom of your foot. You step in that thing with a big dog and it's like quicksand. Hungry? Hungry? I'm sorry, are you eating? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking about that while you're eating. It's insensitive of me, that's what it is. It's insensitive of me. But I do love animals. I love all kinds of animals. Animals are very, very close to me. I'm fascinated by animals. I'm fascinated by people. Sometimes I'll sit on a park bench in a park, which is why they call those benches park benches, by the way. They're aptly named. And I sit on the park bench and I just watch people walk by, strolling with their boyfriend or girlfriend or talking to themselves or pushing their shopping carts full of bottles. I wonder what their lives are like. And it makes me feel good about myself because in just about all cases, I feel like I'm better than they are. That's called the Trump attitude. And I just sit there and I watch life go by and I say, well, you know, I guess I'm not alone in the universe. I guess there are other people that share the planet with me. And you know what? That kind of sucks. That sucks. That sucks to gotta share this place with them.
As a special surprise, thank you. Everyone listening to the Ron Van Dam Show today will receive a free photograph of Ron holding a ferret. Yeah, we don't know why he's holding a ferret either. But he's the boss. So there's the ferret. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
And speak is what I do. This is the Ron Van Dam Show. We do this every single weekday. I didn't do it on Thanksgiving, but we had something there for you to listen to anyway. You can hear us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, the Podbean Network, New England Talk Radio, NewEnglandBroadcasting.com, all those places, and the Amazon Alexa thing as well, and SoundCloud and Rain Cloud and all that. Take a look right above. If you need him up for dinner, yeah. Anyway, coming up a little bit later in the program, a very interesting person, and I say that no matter who it is, because otherwise you don't promote things by saying, and coming up later in the show, the most boring thing you've ever heard in your life. You don't do that, even though it is, not, could have been, maybe it is. I can't tell you how boring it is, or how exciting it may be. But coming up later in the program, we have one of the head honchos with Amazon. There's a nice job. What do you do for a living? I work at Burger King. The food comes down the chute and I put it in a bag. That's what I do for a living. I don't know. I get paid for it, so what the hell? I mean, it pays the rent. Oh, okay. Good job, career move. No, it's temporary. I'm just going to do it for 35 years and then I'm stopping. It's like a stripper. I'm just stripping for like maybe a year, and then I'm going to get a real job where I make a lot less money than taking my clothes off and getting money thrown at me. I'm just doing it for a year, and then you talk to them like 20 years later. Yeah, I'm just going to do it for another 62 years. It's the same thing with the Burger King thing. We're actually going to speak to, it'd be more interesting actually to speak to a stripper, to be honest with you. Actually, we're going to be speaking to one of the head Amazon people in their literary area, and they are going to tell us what the best books are of the year. Not Time Magazine, Amazon. And let me tell you something, Amazon, a little more prestigious than Time right now. Time is not on their side. Amazon is just huge. They started out as a book thing. Who would think that something that started out as a book thing would turn into the largest everything company of the universe? You can get everything on Amazon, including a stripper, probably. I don't know, probably not. Maybe that's the one thing that you can't get on Amazon. Shall we try after this show to see if that's true? Anyway, Amazon will be joining us later to tell us what the best books of the year are, and then you might say to yourself, if you love to read, all two of you, you may say to yourself, ooh, here's some recommendations from Amazon. Like, they are like Amazon. Everything stops. So what if you said to somebody, I hold a position, I'm a vice president of books at Amazon. You are? That's damn impressive. Wow. How'd you get that job? Well, I was a stripper for 3 years, and I decided that was enough of that, so I decided to become to go into business, and now I am the actual Amazon person of the year, and I work for Amazon, and they take care of me very well. Not only do I make $600,000 a year, but I get all the free books that I want, and also I can, it's just wonderful. I just have a great time. What a wonderful job that would be, work for Amazon, huh? Big company. I understand it's a big company. It's not a mom and pop, I understand. It's not a mom and pop. There's an Amazon warehouse near my studio here. And near, I don't mean that close. It's not like across the street or anything. It's about, 12, 15 miles away. Which is kind of close. Everything is kind of close these days because we have cars now. And you can get to any place rather quickly as long as it's nearby, 12 or 15 miles away. It's a huge warehouse. The warehouse is almost a mile long. It's a good half a mile to three quarters of a mile long. And I'm not making that up. I didn't know that you could have a structure this large. It is huge. It's like its own town, its own zip code. This building is huge. It's like the Houston Astrodome, and then some, and it's a warehouse, and it has everything in it. So if you order something locally, this guy will get in a car. A lot of people have cars, and they bring it to your house. I mean, it's like you can almost get an item faster to your house through Amazon than you can getting in the car and driving to the place, trying to find a parking space, going inside the place, buying it, and getting home. Amazon can get to you faster. That's a lie. That's not true. But it sounded good, and I thought I'd say it anyway. I think it is faster just to go down the store and buy it and go home. but I don't know. Because Cyber Monday is today. This is Cyber Monday. This is the day that Cyber Monday occurs. It's Monday. It's Cyber Monday. There was Black Friday. Now there's Cyber Monday. Online purchases are up 17% this year. 17 freaking percent. That's a lot of percent. I mean, your electric bill is the only thing that's gone up higher than that percentage-wise. Can you believe that? My electric bill has gone up at least 17%, and they admit it. They put a little note in my electric bill envelope and said, did you notice that our prices went up 17% this year? Did you get a 17% raise at work? I don't think so, but we're raising our electric prices 17%. What do you think of that, Ron? Well, I think it sucks, and I'm not happy about it, but thanks for telling me ahead of time. Oh, the only reason we're telling you, we're raising it 17%. We wanted to raise it 30%, but they wouldn't let us do it. The reason we're telling you is so we don't have to take all your phone calls saying, hey, what the hell happened to my electric bill? Why am I paying 17% more all of a sudden? We're just trying to head that off, so it's like for our benefit, not to tell you about it for your benefit. That would be absurd. This is for us, so that you don't call us and say, what the hell's going on with you? And by the way, what are you going to do? Go to another electric? You can't. You can get electric providers within our thing, but you still have to pay us the money. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, pioneer family? Not have any electricity? I don't think so. I got you over a barrel. You're kissing my ass like there's no tomorrow, so don't try to tell me that you think this is wonderful. We will charge you anything we want. We're like an insurance company. Did you enjoy your insurance rates on auto and home last year? Those are going up 12%. What? Yeah, because I don't know. We just chose a number, and we wanted to raise it more, but we figured, nah, that's not nice. So we raised it 12%. Did you get a 12% raise this year? No, I did not. Oh, well, that's too bad. Then you're falling behind, just like Mr. Trump promised you. Yeah, as soon as he became president, after a whole year, you're supposed to be better off. How are you now?
I'm paying more than I make, even more so.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, I guess that didn't work out, did it? Well, what are you going to do about that? That's a problem, isn't it? You've been blinded by the light. That's called cutting music off quickly. Okay, coming up on tomorrow's show, one of the most interesting interviews I will ever do with the people from WebRoot Security. We're going to be talking about everything we do is online. Everything. I actually go to the bathroom online. I don't know how I do it, but I do. Cybersecurity, making sure that everything that you do cannot be hacked or stolen. It is so freaking important. It's not funny. Even though the show is funny, that's not funny. So tomorrow we speak to an expert from WebRoot, which is one of the largest cybersecurity companies that you can use. They're going to give us tips during this holiday season as not to get hacked, how to protect your information. But I mean, like, really. I mean, really. And they're going to talk about using Bluetooth, whether Wi-Fi is better than using the the over-the-air antenna stuff, and just all kinds of things. That's on tomorrow's show. I guarantee you should listen to it. It's very important. There's stuff that you didn't know that we're going to be talking about tomorrow. So will you join me for that? Yes? Come on, say you will. Come on. Come on, say you will. Come on. Okay. Are you ready to talk to the good people at Amazon about their choice for the best books of the year? We're going to do it in just a second.
This is your source for all the news that matters. Hard-hitting, unbiased, investigative journalism. Ready to break...
Sorry, John, that's the wrong copy.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, it's not right. Is it under the...
Under the... Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's this other sheet. That makes so much more sense. Okay.
Okay, let's go again.
You're listening to a podcast that has Ron Van Dam on it. It's the Ron Van Dam Podcast on New England Broadcasting.
Ron.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Very well. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure. Sarah Harrison-Smith joins us. She's the editorial director, Amazon.com Books and Kindle. Jim, I've never heard of Amazon before. This is interesting. Okay. All right. You better get used to hearing that. Yeah, I understand Amazon has a lot of books. And actually, we're talking about the best books of 2017. Boy, the selection must be huge.
Well, yes. I mean, we're choosing from all the books that we've read over the course of the year. There are six of us editors, and we read, I'd say, you know, three books a week, probably.
What?
Each of us specializes in different genres, but there's also a lot of overlap, and we read very freely. But, for example, we have somebody who's a specialist in romance and fantasy. Mm-hmm. Some people like me are more literary fiction readers or biography readers. Mm. And then at the end of the year, we come together and, you know, discuss, ponder, and argue over all the books we've loved over the course of the year to try to winnow it down to 10 books. It's not easy.
My God. And you sound so sane. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's early in the morning still.
Okay. So now there are so many different types of books. How do you choose the best book when there's so many different categories?
Well, our top 10 list, which readers can find at amazon.com/bestbooks2017, is, you know, best books in any genre. So we choose those best books regardless of what genre they're in. And our top book is actually a nonfiction pick. Which is kind of uncharacteristic for us. We haven't had a top book that was a nonfiction pick since 2010, when it was The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. But this year, our top pick is Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI by David Gran. And this is an example of a book that appeals to a wide range of people, even people who don't necessarily think that they are history readers, nonfiction readers, if they're mostly lit fic, or that's what we call literary fiction readers, like me. This book has all the narrative qualities that you're looking for in a novel, and an amazing story to boot. I learned more about American history from this book than I have from anything I've read recently.
So, now, the fact that this book has been chosen doesn't necessarily mean it was the most popular sales-wise.
No, we're not looking at that. We're really looking at the value of the book as a reading experience.
So it could be an unpopular book, but yet is quite extraordinary.
You know, my mother always used to say that cream will rise, and I think that's true. It's very rare to find a totally fabulous book that's going to appeal to a lot of different people that's not also selling well, but we honestly don't look. I've never looked.
Okay. Do you have like a big meeting at the end of the year in a secluded room?
Yes. And we try very hard to keep it secret. And and that's really important to us. We six editors get together. This year it was in Seattle. And we had to look at all the lists that we compiled over the course of the year for those best of the month lists that we put together. And the genre list that we put together over the course of the year. And we looked at those again, and then we thought, did we miss anything as we went through? Because, of course, you know, maybe something that you read in April, you know, turns out not to have been as great as you thought it was back then. But usually what happens is that the ones that really stuck with you are the ones that make it on the top 10 list.
I guess so.
So sometimes it's hard, you know, Lincoln and the Bardo by George Saunders, which actually also won the Man Booker Prize, is on our top 10 list. And that came out fairly early in the year. Mm-hmm. And I think we all had to kind of go back to our notes from reading it the first time and just say, oh, yeah, this one totally knocked our socks off. This is an amazing book. We can't leave it off the list, even though it now seems like old history.
Right. Well, literally. So you're all assigned to different categories. How is it that at the end you've all read the same book?
You know, assigned to different categories probably puts too much emphasis on it. Mm-hmm. We do read more broadly than that. Okay. I mean, can you imagine if all you read was one single genre all your life? You would be miserable.
Well, people
do
that.
Of course, we read the big books. The books that we hear through word of mouth are excellent along the way. And when it comes to the top 10 list, if not enough of us have read a particular book that we think deserves to be in the top 10, we'll all go back and read it and then discuss it.
Do you watch TV at all?
You know, I don't.
I kind of thought maybe you didn't have time to.
Yeah, I don't even have a TV. I have a computer. I can look at things occasionally.
Okay, all right. Give me an example, if you can, of some other books that are really, really did well in your opinion.
Well, okay, so a book that's not on our top 10 list but is the top of its category is Sherman Alexie's memoir about his mother, You Don't Have to Say You Love Me. And this is just an extraordinary book that I would, you know, give to any good reader as a holiday gift, because it's so heartfelt and it's really interesting. I mean, it's interesting to me, too, that this is also about the American Indian experience, though the David Grand book that I mentioned, which is our top number one pick, is set among the Osage Nation, and Sherman Alexie grew up on the Spokane Indian Reservation. But just learning more about life on the reservation, about the hardships that his family faced, and how they impacted his mother and his growing up was really interesting to me. He has a bit of poetry in that book as well. Mm. Some of it's sort of straight narrative, some of it's poetry. It's really neat. And he's, of course, hilariously funny when he's not breaking your heart.
Hmm. What about teens and kids? They should be reading. Things should attract to them. What happened in that category?
Oh, yeah. I mean, children's books are absolutely fabulous because they tend to just be so pleasurable, don't they? And sometimes there's crossover. Grown-ups are reading them too. But I would say if you're a parent or a grandparent or you know a child in the 8 to 12 range and you yourself loved Harry Potter or the child in question loved the Mysterious Benedict Society, we would strongly recommend our number one pick, which is Nevermore, The Trials of Morrigan Crow. This is a debut novel by Jessica Townsend, and it's really like a classic fantasy adventure story, and totally immersive. If you gave this to a 10-year-old, you know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they would probably be reading until bedtime.
That's good. That's what we need more of, books like that that can actually engage children in reading. Because there's so
absolutely
many.
Books are fun.
Yeah. Well, now they have competition with all the other distractions, you know. But at the same time, that's good. That's good.
Well, let's not forget audiobooks. I mean, my kids range in their excitement about reading, and one of them prefers to listen to his books.
Yeah,
so
I know, but
it's not quite the same. But he's still getting the books, which is great.
Yeah, he's still getting experiences through, I mean, radio is great, too, because it stimulates your mind to create pictures and what you're hearing. But reading is just so important, and I'm glad that you're, you know, Amazon focuses
on that. Can I make a pitch for an audiobook of one of these top 10 books that I think is outstanding?
No.
I mentioned Lincoln and the Bardo, George Saunders. It's almost like a play reading this book, and I think that sometimes the format, which is all these different voices, can be confusing to people for the first couple of pages. If you listen to the audiobook of this novel, that is one of the best ways to experience it. It has a cast of over 100, and it's just fantastic.
So the audiobook is written in the form of dialogue?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Well, the book is written in the form of dialogue.
That's what I mean. Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So it's like a screenplay.
Yeah.
Kinda. Interesting. I like that.
Yeah, you should definitely check out that book. Yeah. There's a bit of American history there and just a lot of like stylistic verve. It's funny and it's sad. Oh my God, the poignancy. Because at the heart of it is the death of Lincoln's little son, who is 11 years old. Oh, yeah. But then the whole book is narrated by ghosts in the graveyard where he's been interred.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
So where do I go to get this list, this information?
All right, so we've got a lot of lists, and you can find our top 10 lists and links to all of the other genre-specific lists at amazon.com/bestbooks2017.
I can remember that. Well, thank you so much for your time today, sir. It's fascinating.
It was such a pleasure talking to you, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that shall be the show for today, the king said to the queen. I'll be back again tomorrow. We're doing a special interview tomorrow on cybersecurity, and that, like, really affects you. No, not you. You sit down. Your head's in the way. Yeah, behind you. Yeah, you. You're the one it affects. God. I went to the theater over the weekend in Boston, and there was a man sitting in front of me who had the world's largest head. Just a regular-sized body, but his head was like a Macy's Day Thanksgiving balloon thing. His head was huge. A gigantic head, and he sat right in front of me, and I had to keep dodging his head, and if he moved a little bit to the left, I'd have to move a little bit to the right, because his head was so huge, I could hardly see the stage from this guy's big freaking head. I mean, he had a huge head, and I couldn't imagine him having sex with his girlfriend with that huge head. It was like, huge head. I don't know how you carry a thing like that around on that regular size body. It's like you have to have various architectural design teams come in order to support that huge head that this guy had. It was like bulbously large. It was larger than George Lopez's head, and that's a large head too. All right, I'm done. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.